All right, let's dive into the Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, your phones, whatever you use to look up the Word, you can open up to 1 Samuel 14. We've been in that as we've been walking through this series, and we're continuing this series once again this morning called Seizing the Moment. Seizing the Moment, and it's a series that's based out of Irwin McManus's book, Chasing Daylight. As a matter of fact, I still have a couple copies if you want that book. We've been walking through it in our life groups and encouraging people in the church to walk through this book. I've been talking a lot about it, but there's so many good and challenging things in this book. And so if you want, I still have a couple copies left. If you want, those are $10. You can come talk to me afterwards. But we've been walking through this series kind of based off this book of seizing the moment. A series that we've partnered with our life groups as we're walking through those each week. And since we've kicked off this series, we've talked about a couple different topics. First, we talked about choices and God's desire for us to choose to live, right? To choose to live. And how in doing so, that helps us to seize the moments that are out there before us. And then we talked about taking initiative, right? If you remember, I talked about doing something, okay? Because so often it's just putting ourselves out there, it's just doing something that helps us then to be able to seize the moments. And then last week we talked about uncertainty, right? Which I learned yesterday, the uncertainty of whether your car will start or not when you want it to, okay? All right, but we talked about uncertainty and the reality that there's no guarantees in this world. And if we wait for guarantees before we move forward, then the only thing we are going to guarantee ourselves is missed opportunities, all right? And so we've talked about these things. Well, this morning, we're going to once again look at 1 Samuel and the story of Jonathan, but we're going to kind of hit it from just a little bit different angle this morning. Today we're going to actually talk about Jonathan's influence, the influence that Jonathan had, and how he used his influence. So the question for you this morning, are you a person of influence? Are you a person of influence? And if so, are you being a positive influence or are you being a negative influence? You see, I'm sure many of us remember those days when you were younger, right? And you got in trouble for doing something stupid, right? Am I the only one? Okay, there's people out here, you're young, you get in trouble for doing something stupid, right? And what are some of the first words that come out of your parents' house, or your parents' mouth, excuse me? You know, who put you up to this, right? Right? Don't they say, you know, they're like, who led you down this path? Who put you up to this, right? Maybe you've asked that same question to your kids. Your kids get in trouble and you're like, okay, who put you up to this, right? Why? Because, you know, as parents, we want to believe that our child, they would never do bad on their own, right? No. We've taught them to be perfect little children. They must have been influenced by somebody else. Someone must have influenced them, right? It couldn't be our kids that would do that. Couldn't have been me. I would have never done that stuff. It was always those my sisters that influenced me to do those things, right? The devil made me do it. There you go. The devil made me do it. There's always something, right? Well, in the book Chasing Daylight, Irwin McManus tells us that human beings are created with the capacity to be influenced and to influence others. And so the reality is either we're being influenced by others, or we're influencing others. And sometimes it's both at the same time, right? I want to share a funny little illustration here that kind of points this out. Let me just read it to you. It says, "Ever since I was a little kid, I didn't want to be me. I wanted to be Billy Whittleton. And Billy Whittleton, he didn't even like me. But I would try to walk like he walked and talk like he talked, and I even signed up for the same high school classes that he signed up for. Then one day I began to realize something. Billy Whittleton started to change. You see, he began to hang around Herbie Vandeman. So he walked like Herbie Vandeman. He talked like Herbie Vandeman, which totally mixed me up. You see, I began to walk like Billy Whittleton, who was actually walking and talking like Herbie Vanneman. And then it dawned on me that Herbie Vanneman walked and talked like Joey Haverlin. And Joey Haverlin walked and talked like Corky Stavinson. So here I am walking and talking like Billy Whittleton's imitation of Herbie Vanneman's version of Joey Haverlin, trying to walk and talk like Corky Stavinson. And who do you think Corky Stavinson is always walking and talking like? Of all people, Dopey Wellington, that little pest who walks and talks like me. Right? Now, this is a silly little illustration, but it does. It points out the fact of that we're always influenced by others, and others are influenced by us, and sometimes at the same time, right? See, the one thing I've learned about influence is this. Through this book and just this journey that I've been on over the last years, is that the proper use of influence is essential if we're going to seize the divine moments in our life. And I say this because God's greatest moments that we experience in life, God's greatest moments that He has for us, guess what? They are never for us alone. They're not. Now, we grab hold of them like they're ours. Yeah, that's for me, this moment, this time. Oh, wasn't it wonderful? But they're never for us alone. They are always about our lives touching another, or vice versa, right? God blesses us so that we can bless others. It's never about us alone. It's never for us alone. When we make it about us, it becomes selfish, right? Because we're focused on what we want, what our desires. Yeah, this was for me. But God didn't save us just for us. He saved us so that we could go and to be His salt and light in this world. We're called to be salt and light. If you look at in Matthew 5, right? We're called to be salt and light. Now, who is that salt and light for? Are we called to be salt and light for ourselves? Is that for us? Are we called to be salt and light for God? I don't think so. No, we're called to be salt and light for others, right? It's about others. Our purpose in life is to love God so that we can learn to love others. Because a life touched by God is always going to influence someone else. That's why He touches us. It's not just for us. I'm sorry if I just burst your bubble there, okay? He touches us and He influences us so that we can influence others. So the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is this: how influential are we? How influential are we in this world? In our lives, if we're really honest with ourselves, are we making a difference in people's lives through our influence? And if not, why? What is it that we need to do differently? Now, that's a tough question, okay? That's a tough question. Why aren't we influencing people? What do we need to do differently? And the answer to that is probably different for every single one of us. Okay, so I don't have maybe all the answers this morning, but I have some thoughts I want to share with you. You see, I think oftentimes we fail to see the power of influence that we actually have in our lives. The reason we're not influential is because we fail to see the power of influence that we actually have. I think a lot of times we think unless we are in a place of authority, a place of power, that we don't feel we have a whole lot of influence. I want you to hear what a quote from the book that Irwin McManus says. He says this, positional power, okay, and that's that power where because we have this position, we have this place of authority, you know, maybe you're a boss, a manager, whatever it may be, a parent, okay, that's positional authority. Or positional power, says, positional power may control the actions of another person, okay? So with that power, as a boss, as a parent, or whatever, I can control that. You need to do this, right? We can control the actions. Positional power may control the action of a person, he says, but it will never capture the heart. It will never capture the heart. You see, we think that influence comes from this position or power, having this great whatever. But positional power can cause people to do things, but it doesn't touch the heart. It doesn't influence people in the way that God desires us to influence. Influence isn't about power and authority. Influence is about relationship. How do we influence people? It's through relationship with one another. It's about connecting with others in ways that allow them to trust us and to be influenced by us. I'm going to look at 1 Samuel 14 again this morning, but we're just going to look at two verses to start with. We're going to jump to some verses we hadn't got to yet in this series, but I want to start with just two verses this morning that we've read through a couple different times. 1 Samuel 14, verses 6 and 7. Let me read these to you. I want to look at them because, you know, as we've looked at them before, we're going to look at them in just maybe a little bit different light this morning. Verse 6 says this, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. That was last week's message, right? Perhaps, the uncertainty of life. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or few. And then verse 7, do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. Now, we've been talking a lot over the last few weeks about the risk that Jonathan took here, right? If you're unfamiliar, you know, the Israelites, the Philistines, they've engaged in battle. The Israelites get scared. They're hiding. Saul's got his 600 men. They're just sleeping. They're hiding. And Jonathan's like, we got to do something. So him and his armor bearer take off, just the two of them, and fight against the Philistines. And it causes this confusion, and this stuff happens, and the victory is won. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. But So we've been talking over the last few weeks about the risk that Jonathan's taking here, right? To just get up with his armor bearer and to go face this huge Philistine army. But the truth is, the risk his armor bearer was taking was even greater. Because if you remember, we talked about the fact that there's only one sword. Who do you think got the sword? Jonathan had the sword. He's going with the sword of the armor bearer. He's got nothing. He had the greater risk in this whole thing. So with this greater risk, what do you think would make the armor bearer respond in this way? To say, okay, I'll go with you. To say, I'm with you heart and soul. See, I believe it was because he trusted Jonathan. There was a relationship of trust there between the two. It was a relationship and the influence that Jonathan had on his life. You see, his response, I am with you heart and soul, tells us this wasn't about power and authority because, yes, Jonathan was the prince. And he could have said, armor bearer, you're coming with me, right? And he would have had to go. But in that case, the armor bearer would have said, yes, sir, you know, kind of thing. That's what in the military. I was in the Marine Corps. You said, yes, sir. Your heart and soul wasn't always in it, but you did it because you were told to do it, right? But that's not the case here with the armor bearer. The fact that he said, I'm with you heart and soul, tells us that it wasn't about the power and authority. It was about the relationship that they had. He trusted Jonathan. I'll do whatever you want. I'm here for you because I trust in you, the relationship and the connection that they had. And I believe that's why Jonathan went to his armor bearer. Because he knew he could influence, he knew the relationship that he had with his armor bearer. Why didn't Jonathan go to his father? I mean, think about it. His dad's the king. If he goes and he influences dad, he doesn't just have two. He's got 600, right? But Jonathan knew he had a stubborn dad. It's like when my son tries to tell me something, I'm like, no, right? You know, that stubbornness. Jonathan knew that his dad had made up his mind. Jonathan knew that he wasn't going to influence his dad. He was afraid. He was waiting. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew he couldn't influence his dad. And so, he did nothing? No. He realized his sphere of influence. You know, how many of us have found ourselves in a situation like this? Right? Where there's someone above us that's maybe made up their mind, that's made a decision, that's over us, and we can't get them to change their mind, and we just don't know what to do, right? What do we do when we're faced with this kind of situation? A lot of times, nothing, right? What can I do? My hands are tied. The boss said no. Now, you're supposed to listen to your, and there's some respect level there of listening to your boss and following through. But I want to read to you a little paragraph from the book where Irwin McManus talks about this. Let me just read this little paragraph. It says this. It says, many times we conclude we are powerless because we cannot change things up. And what he's saying here is Jonathan, you know, he couldn't go up. He couldn't go up to his dad. He couldn't go up because the decision had been made, right? So many times we conclude we are powerless because we cannot change things up. Those who hold positions of power and authority, and this is, you know, like his dad. He held the authority. He was king. You know, for us, it's, you know, the president. It's our bosses. Those people in charge of us, whoever that may be, okay? Those who hold positions of power and authority simply will not see things our way. And all too often, when we cannot change things up, we just conclude that we cannot change anything. Now, if Jonathan accepted this paradigm of powerlessness, he would have never seized his divine moment. That's the way we think. Well, tried to go up, nothing happened. I can't do anything. Who am I? I'm just little old me. But instead of remaining powerless, Jonathan decided to use the influence that he knew he did have. Right? He may not have been able to influence those above him, but he was able to influence those that were below him. And in this case right now, the one person was his armor bearer. He had one person he could influence. And here's the thing we have to see and realize. He used what small sphere of influence he did have to do something. To do something. And that something ended up influencing the entire Israelite army, right? You see, the thing we have to realize is that influence, even if it starts small, even if we can't go up and we go down, and that small sphere of influence may seem like this, but here's the thing we have to realize about influence. It can be contagious. Now that's whether good or bad, all right? We can be contagiously influencing people in a bad way, right? I remember there's a story in the book. I didn't put this in my notes, but I remember reading one of the stories in the book about these kids that got to go stay out in this treehouse at a camp. And they tell you, you know, there's a rule. You can't have food out there. You can't because bears and creatures and animals will come, and it can be a dangerous thing. And if you read in the book, these were good kids, but they had a different thought. They thought, we want to see the animals. So they purposefully, you know, and it started with one. And so all of them, and what happened, you know, here you have the six kids and it starts with one. And then they tell the person, yeah. And some of the people are maybe a little bit like, oh, I don't know. But as soon as you get, it starts to spread and it gets contagious and all of a sudden, okay, yeah. You know, in the book, you'll see... Thankfully, they lived. The bears came and stuff came, and it could have been a scary situation, all right? But influence can be contagious, whether good or bad. It's like a common virus. I mean, literally, the influence can spread, right? Like a common cold, like the virus, we can pass our influence on to others, and it can spread, good or bad. And because of that, we need to make sure that we're passing on the kind of influence that we want to be passing on, right? We want to be spreading on good things, I hope. We don't want to pass on the bad. How many of you know that as parents, we're a huge influence of our kids? And there are times when I'm influencing in a good way. And then there's those times where I see them do something, and I'm like, where did you learn how to do that? Right? You ask it. They've got to be influenced by someone else, right? I learned it from you, Dad. Right? We influence them in the not so good way at times. You see, we want to be people who are positively influencing others. Jonathan was a positive influence in this situation. And his influence was contagious. And here's the cool thing. His influence brought about victory for the Israelites. You see, he may not have been able to start at the top with his father, but he became so influential down here that the top couldn't help but come alongside with what he was doing, right? Let's jump a little farther in 1 Samuel this morning. We're going to just read a few more verses here, 1 Samuel 20 through 23. We're going to see how the entire Israelite army caught the Jonathan virus. Okay, that's what we're calling it this morning, the Jonathan virus. All right. It says this, verses 20 through 23. So we know, if you remember from the story, Jonathan and his armor bearer go up and they battle and they kill some like 20 people, and it causes this mass confusion, right? So Saul and them are like, what's going on? Who's gone? And they realize Jonathan's gone and his armor bearer. They're like, they must be going, and they know this confusion happening. So here's where we pick up in verse 20, all right? It says, then Saul and all his men assembled and went to the battle. Now that Jonathan started it, right? His influence now is beginning to spread. It says, they found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. And those Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines and had gone up with them to their camp, they quickly turned back over to the Israelites who served with Saul and Jonathan. Verse 22, when all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved on beyond Beth Aven. Here's the cool thing. His influence didn't just bring the 600 Israelites that were there with Saul, right? But the other 2,400, remember they start with 3,000 and 2,400 of them had run when they'd seen this great Philistine army. His influence brought the other 24 back into the game. You see, our influence can be contagious. Our influence can be contagious. The fact is, we never know the impact that our influence is going to have on others. You never know when our influence is going to be contagious and bring others along and into the circle. We never know when those kind words that we say to someone is going to lift a broken spirit, right? You never know when that hand extended to someone is going to bring hope and encouragement to a life that's felt broken. You never know when a simple act of loving your neighbor is going to create a lifetime friendship, right? You never know when your influence is going to extend the kingdom of God, is going to draw someone else, not because they go, wow, look at how great you are. They say, what's different about you? And we get to point them to who it is, because it's not us. And if you're taking credit for it, stop it. Okay? It's Jesus at work in us. We never know when our influence is going to draw someone into the love of Christ. That's what we're called to do, right? You see, this is the challenge that's being set before us, that we not only take initiative, you know, we have to initiate, we have to act, we've been talking about that, that we not only move with confidence in the midst of uncertainty, yes, we need to do that, but that we also maximize our sphere of influence as we grow in the depth of character and relationship and our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, for some of us, our sphere of influence may be big. And that's great. Use that big sphere of influence you have for His glory to draw more and more people into Him. For others, your sphere of influence may be small, but that's great too. Use that sphere of influence to draw those into relationship with Jesus. The reality is, it doesn't matter if your sphere is big or if your sphere is small. What matters is if you're doing what God has called you to do and being someone that influences others to Him. We're called to let our light shine, right? And when we're faithful to do that, when we're faithful to let that light shine through us, it becomes contagious. People want to know, what's different? What is it? How can you have peace in the midst of such difficult situations? How can you always have a smile on your face showing up to work on Mondays? Right? How can you, when we let our light shine and when we're faithful, it becomes contagious. And people are influenced by it. I want to finish this morning real quickly just with a visual illustration. Light is a powerful thing, right? Regardless of how big or small the package that it comes in. I want to show a little illustration. This is just a simple spotlight. I used to use this in my youth group. I put up this weird-looking ball that had mirrors all over it, and it would spin around. Maybe you guys have seen that. You know, some of you guys have seen those things. And you would shine this spotlight at it, and it would put these cool things all over the room, and it felt like, yeah, and you'd start to kind of move like this, you know, or like this or whatever, you know. but this is a powerful, small little light, but powerful light that shines. And I brought this spotlight to show you how powerful, just it doesn't matter how small your sphere of influence, how powerful the light is if we allow it to shine. So I brought myself a little extension cord, and we're going to plug it in. So you ready? Here we go. We'll try not to blind anybody. So if it's shining right at you, look away. Just kidding. All right. Okay, is there a power button on here? No, I think you just plug it in. All right. Here we go. Let me see here. What do we got going on here? Oh, yeah. See, whoa. See that? Doesn't work too well, right? If you don't plug that in. I love this illustration because I always look like a fool. But the reality is, I did this on purpose. Because here's the key: to really let our light shine, you got to be plugged into a power source. And a lot of times we want our light to shine, but we're not plugged. We're not plugged into the power source that allows us to give off the light that He's called us to live. And there's so many simple ways that we can plug into that power by picking up His Word. This right here is our power source that helps us learn how to be the light that shines bright in Him. Taking time just to pray. And again, it's not, oh, I got to just get on my knees here and spend my hour in the morning before prayer. If you can do that, that's great. I encourage you to do that. However much time you can spend in prayer, that's wonderful. But sometimes it's just on my way to work, talking with the Lord, singing to Him, spending time with Him, connecting with Him, plugging into the source, because He's the source that's going to allow our light to shine. That's what God calls for us to do. To be lights that shine bright for Him. Not Darren's light. Darren's light isn't going to affect anyone. If Darren's light's going to influence anyone, I'm guaranteeing you, it's going to be a bad influence. But when I plug into His source and I allow His light to shine through me, then I become the influencer that He's called me to be. Where I begin to influence others with His love, with His grace, with His mercy. I can talk. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These familiar, yeah, you read them in here about again and again, and all the time I look at them, I'm like, oh, that's not me sometimes. It just means I need to plug in a little more and allow God to begin to change me more and more, to transform me from the inside out so that I can let my light shine in the way that God desires for my light to shine. Amen? So that we can influence people in the way that God's called us to influence. However few of people or however great of people that God puts before you, the key is just that we're being influencers of those that we come in contact with. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. And Lord, just looking at Jonathan, man, what an amazing man, Lord. I want the Jonathan virus, Lord, in my life. Someone who takes initiative, someone who understands the reality of uncertainty. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know if you'd come through. He didn't know that the other Israelites would come alongside. But as he was faithful to do what he felt called to do, and as he moved, and as he allowed you to shine through him, Lord, he influenced others. And I know with his armor bearer, Lord, he influenced him because he was a man of God that was faithful, a man of God with compassion and love. And his armor bearer didn't look at him as a boss. I'm sure his armor bearer looked at him as a great man that he wanted to be like. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be people that others want to be like. Not because of us, not because of anything we do, but because of your light that shines through us, Lord. Help us to plug into that source, Lord, to seek you, to seek your will and way for our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your love. Help us to press into you, Lord. Because I believe as we begin to press into you, as we begin to love you and learn to love like you, then we won't be able to do anything but love others, Lord. And let your love shine through us in a way that draws people to you, that glorifies you, Lord. Because that's what it's about. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the ability that you give us to be influencers, Lord. You have chosen to use us. Sometimes we think, why? Why did you choose us? And we can look at certain people and say, why would you choose them? I know a lot of people may look at me and say, how could you use a man like that? But Lord, you choose to use us to influence others. And we thank you for that opportunity. Allow us to dive into you, to seek you, to plug into you, so that we may influence others in the way that you desire us to influence them, in ways that draw them to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for what you're doing in our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.